Welcome, one and all. You have just discovered the Tom and Topher Experiment Podcast, where we explore the mystery of the universe, our minds, and much more. So come along with us to the edge of all that is possible. Boom. Season 2, Episode 1 starts now.
That's right. You heard that right.
What is up, motherfucker? You're here. We're here. How are we doing? So, it's been about a month or so since we had the last podcast.
Yeah. We had a little break. We had some discussions. We're going to be breaking up the show into seasons. And this season, we're going to be introducing a lot of newer things to the show.
Technically, this is episode 26. So I think we're going to do 25 episodes per season. And we're trying to vamp it up so it doesn't take us like a year to do one season. I mean, ideally that's what shows do, a season per year. But yeah, we want more guests, more research, more field trips. We used to do a lot of field trips and like groundwork research on some of the stuff we were doing.
Yeah. Like we're still learning and growing, but season one was really us just kind of finding our footing. I feel like we have a better vision of what we want to do, and we have a better like grasp on how to keep a conversation going.
Yeah, and we can see now the things that we did in the beginning that we really liked, the things that we don't like, things that we're doing now that we like, kind of filtering out the stuff we don't like. And I think we have definitely got ourselves a little podcast going. And I think it is definitely time for a new awakening.
New awakening, that's for sure.
Yeah. So we've been a bit busy, so sorry for the absence. Definitely wasn't too long, but much needed little break.
Not our longest absence, that's for sure.
Yeah. That is for sure. But nothing wrong with a little break, you know. Complete that last season, season one. It was fun.
It was fun. Something we used to do in our last season that we don't do anymore is coffee reviews or beer reviews.
Yeah.
So today, I thought I'd bring along some wine and review it.
How about we cheers to that,
Hold on. Let me get some more in my glass.
Get some more in your... Oh. That was a nice little pop. That wasn't the bottle, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
You're ruining my ASMR experience.
All right. Cheers to that. Cheers to... popping. That was a nice little ching.
All right. So what we're drinking, it's called 19 Crimes, The Uprising.
Where can you get this?
You can get it at any grocery store. I bought it at Bel Air. If you live in Northern California, you should be familiar with Raley's, Bel Air, and Nob Hill. It's called 19 Crimes. It's an Australian wine. It's called 19 Crimes because back in the 19th century, probably early 20th century, the English government would banish its most hardened criminals to Australia. So basically it would send criminals to the end of the world and they'd be stuck on a whole different continent. So that's why Australia is a lot like the Wild West in a lot of ways. But it's called 19 Crimes because there were 19 crimes that would get you banished over there. And what's cool about this wine is that in each cork, once you cork the bottle, they will have one of those crimes. And this one is number 8.
It's written on the cork.
Written on the side of the cork. So number 8, stealing letters, advancing the postage, and secreting the money. That would get you banished from England and marooned on Australia, in Australia.
What does it mean? What does that mean?
What? Hold on. Let me do that. I've opened more bottles of wine than you. I'm 30.
Shut up.
31.
Stealing letters. So stealing somebody's postal, anything. You'd get sent to Australia.
Yeah. That's a big crime. That's a big crime here, too.
Advancing the postage.
That'll land you in federal prison in the States.
Advancing the postage. What does that mean? Like, harming postage workers?
The postage money, maybe? I don't know.
Advancing the postage?
Let's look that up.
And secreting the money. Is that like laundering?
Like taking it? Oh, I don't know. Let's see. Advancing.
Stealing postage. Letters, advancing the postage, and secreting the money. Secreting. Is it secreting? S-E-C-R-E-T-I-N-G. You know what? We're too much into this. This bottle is very dope. It's designed to look like it's just been thrashed.
Yeah.
It's like a black bottle.
It looks like an old rum bottle.
It looks like a rum bottle that you would find at the bottom of like Jack Sparrow's ship.
Yeah, because it has like a matte finish to it.
And it has a picture of what I'm assuming is one of the prisoners that has been sent to Australia.
Yeah.
And there's an app that you can download where you just put your camera to his face and he talks to you. It's actually pretty neat for children, if your children like wine.
I'm looking up right now.
No, but here's the deal. Here's what I think about this this wine. Before I do that, what did you find?
I'm trying to find, there's a movie about that with Guy Pearce in it. It is called...
About what?
He's a criminal that gets banished to Australia. It's called The Proposition. Came out in 2005. Very good movie. You should see it.
Okay. Probably won't.
No, you should. I can guarantee you it's a good movie. What were we going to say?
No, I was just going to review the wine. You ready?
Yeah, let's go into it.
So it's a red.
It's a red blend.
It's a red. I can see that. And it's a wine.
Mm-hmm. It's a red wine. But specifically called a red blend.
Yeah, I knew that. Because mm-hmm. I know a lot about wine.
No, you don't. I don't either.
I know more than you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been wine tasting.
Yeah, I have
like
too.
3 times.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wine tasting.
Yeah, and I had at least like 2 wines.
Did you?
Yeah, oh, I did.
Do tell.
They were
please educate me on these
wines. They were wine.
Yeah?
Here's the deal, bud.
Don't.
Before I sock you in the throat, I'm going to review this wine real quick.
There's no need for violence. We're just a couple homies.
You know what? No, you're right.
Yeah, there's no need for that.
No need for
it's
that.
It's all love, bro.
Hey, here's the deal. Good wine.
Great
first
wine.
Off.
Yeah.
I don't, like what I was saying earlier, I don't like thick wine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It hits your tongue
like
and it's like.
A thick wine.
It's like a bubble of wine on your tongue. Super thick, you know?
I think I know what you're talking about.
And I don't like when it stings your tongue a lot.
Like an alcohol type sting?
Yeah, when it just, and it almost hurts your jowls. Don't like that.
I love it.
But this is very good because it's super like, almost the like consistency of water. Are you all right, bud? Here, get it out.
I was just, see if this is a good wine to inhale.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. I remember when I had my first glass of wine.
Oh, shit. Anyway, what were you saying?
Yeah, anyways. And it's, what's a blend mean? Is that white and red?
It is a blend of grapes, I believe. Let's see if it says on the bottle here. No.
Mm-mm. It's a 15%.
So this one has been aged for 30 days in rum barrels.
30 days in rum barrels.
And I would agree with this.
I think that's not that long.
What's that?
30 days. I feel like that's not that long. Like, nothing to brag about.
They shouldn't have said aged. Like, we let it sit in wine barrels or in rum barrels for 30 days. I mean, I can kind of taste it. Think about it. It kind of has that rum taste to it.
No, it does, definitely.
It's good and smoky. I love smoky flavors. And coffee and alcohol.
It's 420. Bam, 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 bam. All right, enough of that.
All right.
Enough of that nonsense. Let's get on.
Anyway, 19 Crimes, The Uprising, aged 30 days in rum barrels. Delicious, good red blend. Try it.
Hey, hey. Hey,
what's up? You see me looking
that,
at you.
That was a That was a good little switch up from our coffee tastings.
Coffee tasting. We used to do beer tastings too. Like once
we
or twice.
We did.
Yeah.
We drank a lot of alcohol in the beginning of this podcast.
It helped out a lot. Because I was freaking...
social lubricant.
I was awkward as... I have these ideas and I'm having trouble talking about them.
I just have so many things I want to do and say. Okay, sorry. All right, on to the next subject. Season 2, we got our wine out. Halloween is approaching in a couple days.
It is. What kind of spooky movies have you been watching lately? Oh, that's a face of none. You've been watching none, have you?
What did I watch? What have you been watching, huh? While I recollect.
I watched Prometheus, which is a sci-fi horror thriller movie.
Unreal.
Which you have not seen, so you can't make any judgments on it. And and then I watched The Alien Covenant the other night. The Alien. Alien Covenant. Old people put the in front of things. Mm-hmm. That's a boomer thing to do.
Fucking boomers.
Ugh.
Ugh. Those damn boomers.
But anyway, we can come back to boomers later.
Shit. Don't get me started.
The bane of all retail workers, boomers.
Yeah, your generation really sucks.
I'm not a boomer.
You're not?
No, I'm not.
When were you born?
1988.
Okay.
I'm an early millennial.
You're like, why did you just make me say that?
I don't care about my age.
As you flick your shirt out. That was so smug of you.
How's that smug? I only flicked it out because it's getting a little warm in there because of all this wine we've been drinking.
Why is that?
Huh?
Why?
I just get really hot when I drink wine.
Why?
I don't know. It's probably an immune response to the alcohol.
It's a little toasty in here. Hey, we can crack a window if you need.
Harkening back to my anatomy and physiology days.
That look on your face. You did do anatomy and physiology.
I did a lot of things in college. Hey, bud, you got a fence board down. A couple nails will do that up.
Hey, right? We don't need to talk about that right now, all right? Okay. We don't need to go into the dad talk.
Okay.
Hey, this lawn's getting a little long, bud.
Well, it's fall. I don't expect you to mow the lawn when there's dew on it and mess up your lawnmower.
You're telling me. Hey, that's why you got to wait till at least 12 to 4 to mow that lawn.
I mean, if you got to take a weed eater out and, spot cut it.
All right, I'm going to throw up. So Halloween soon. Hey, look at those little cats over there. I have two black cats. Their season.
We got a dual black cat situation.
Bruce and Bane. My two loves.
Keep them inside. There's some freaks out there.
They've been here for every single podcast. All 26 episodes.
They have.
And I have to keep them inside.
You should.
You have to keep black cats inside. Especially around here. There's some weirdos who like to do weird shit.
It's from Fair Oaks, I'm telling you.
Fair Oaks.
All the fucking ghosts and ghouls come
from. All the goblins and ghouls.
If you don't live in the Sacramento area, there's a suburb by the name of Fair Oaks. And
it's haunted. Yeah, there you go. It's haunted.
If you drive through the backwoods, the back roads of it, you're like, there's definitely ghosts walking through these woods.
We have an episode, I think it wasn't last episode, right, with Logan?
No, a couple episodes. He was 24.
Yeah, episode 24 with Logan, he talks about how he came and visited here, and he was like, bro, your house and your entire town is haunted. Especially that one little area. And I was like, Fair Oaks?
Yeah. Because if you watch...
lots of chickens and lots of ghosts.
Mm-hmm. If you watch the movie Halloween, like the neighborhoods look the same.
Yeah.
Perfect neighborhoods that are just... They have like a secret of... horror and murders and
but my neighborhood is straight Stranger Things.
Yeah.
And my last neighborhood was kind of Stranger Things.
Pretty much. That's what I liked about that show. It was so nostalgic of growing up.
Yeah. And whether you grew up in the 80s or not, Sacramento just looks like that.
I did not. I was only in the 80s for a year and a half.
I forget you were in the 80s.
That was
disgusting. Get out of my sight.
That was not disgusting. That was a cool time.
No, it was.
I would think. I did not grow up in that time.
Yeah, but it's pretty messed up that I have to, starting on like what, the 27th through like the 30th, I have to keep my black cats inside. And I just have to know that. And there's certain like rituals that happen throughout the year that I have to keep track of.
Really?
Yeah, like the full moon, what is it? I have it alerted on. I have them alerted on my calendar. I don't know much about them, but I know that you're supposed to keep your black cats in because there's summer solstice. I think that might be one of them.
We should make a holiday where we,
and the winter
where we hunt people that hunt black cats.
Like,
let's do
what's that,
that
movie? Boondock Saints, where they hunt down criminals.
Yeah. Or Dexter, the serial killer of serial killers.
You know how great of a Halloween movie that would be?
That would be cool. PETA, all of PETA would
they'd come jizz all over that.
Oh my god, they love that.
Oh,
let's write that movie. What do you think about that?
That's a good idea.
That would be a good movie. The main characters embed themselves in some Satanist society.
Cast Bruce and
Bane. Yeah, maybe one of their cats got taken, and so that it's like a revenge story.
And they have to use the other cat, which is probably Bruce. No, Bane. To save the brother. And then they reunite. Oh, it's like some Homeward Bound type.
Yeah.
Type-esque.
You get voice actors for the cast.
Yeah.
Brother.
We get Pixar to do it.
There we go.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Alright, well,
Robin Williams can play one of the cats.
Did you see that video on Twitter where Trump, well, it's all over now, but Trump getting booed at the stadium in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
I did.
You see his reaction face?
I did.
Isn't it beautiful?
Pretty funny stuff.
Honestly, I don't know. I don't really like him.
I don't either.
And here's the deal. Hitler didn't even get booed at the Olympics. Like, sorry.
Well, I wouldn't say he's anywhere near Hitler.
No, I'm just saying. Like,
I the will amount say of if I were to pick what I dislike more, I dislike the left way more than I dislike him. Because I feel like they are going to be the downfall of Western civilization.
In what way?
I think what they
just
do, they do, their ideals break up foundational aspects of civilization, and it's a topic I shouldn't go into too deeply because I'm not well enough read on it, but my feeling right now is that their ideals are counter to what makes a civilization great.
Well, people have always kind of shifted, and Democrats don't believe what Democrats used to believe in, you know, 75 years ago. Mm-hmm. And let alone 100, 125 years ago, like, you keep going on, parties shift, and, like, they may be just kind of messing with a lot of shit right now, but maybe because of all of this stuff going down, we will get a leader that kind of reorganizes how we think about Democrats and Republicans, and this guy kind of like Trump believes what Trump believes in, so Republicans are always looked at as, you know, lovers of Trump, or conservatives are looked at as you always believe what Trump believes, but that's never the case. It's
right.
sometimes, like, if you find somebody who just wants to agree with Trump, they don't know about politics or want to know about politics. They just want to see that person that they love on the screen saying whatever they say.
Right.
It doesn't really, there's no filter going on. It's just that rock star up on the screen is their favorite.
I've heard this a few times that when a population is scared, that's when they start giving up their rights, and they want a strong man. They want a strong man, or they want something to feel, they want them to feel safe. Sorry, there's a beautiful cat in your yard.
Yeah, I know. Is this too distracting for you? No, do you fine. Need to switch?
No, it's fine. I'll tone down my ADD. What was I saying?
Sorry, Chris, I opened a window for Chris and he just can't look at me in the eyes anymore. He can't focus on what we're doing.
Yeah, especially now that there's an animal in your yard. I can't.
It's Chloe the cat. Just let her do her thing.
She's a beautiful tabby cat.
Yeah.
Great stripes. Good jawline too.
All right.
What was I saying?
Society was going into collapse. And you were saying
that people when they're scared, they give up their rights.
Right.
Or they want a strong man. Trump's a strong man. People gave up their rights for the Patriot Act.
Yes.
Things like that. And
that was a scary time.
And that's not just the United States. It's all over the world. Hitler, strong man. Putin, strong man. They, you know, Russia, after the fall of the Soviet Union, went into very, very bad times. Heard this on another podcast recently, but I also read this in a research report I did in college, that he is so loved in that country because he pretty much brought them out of the dire straits that they were in post-Soviet Union in the 90s with, you know, Yeltsin not being such a great prime minister and all that.
I had a friend, Bry Guy. Shout out to Bryson.
Hey, Bryson.
How you What's doing, up, bud? My guy?
How you doing, bud? Are you listening to the episodes?
He said he doubts Putin coming to this country and going to a sporting event, like some soccer event. He doubts he would be booed as much as Trump was just booed.
Yeah, probably because probably not a whole lot of people are educated on him. Because he is basically a gangster.
Yeah.
People are killed, poisoned, missing.
I don't know if I agree with that, but it is an interesting thought. That probably is true.
Yeah.
He's hated. And that's Washington, D.C.,
where a lot of liberals live.
Well, either way.
If I could play devil's advocate for a moment here.
Either way, that's where Trump lives.
Yeah, and so do a lot of Democrats and leftists live, too. Washington, D.C.
You think? Nah.
But he did get an award for his criminal justice reform, which I hear is pretty good.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of weird little reforms that seem outrageous, but are kind of actually getting done. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he actually went through with the tax reform, but because I still get taxed a shit ton here in California.
Yeah. When you look at your gross pay, then you look at your net.
Oh my God. Don't do that. Be sad.
It's like, wow, I'd be okay if I had that amount.
Yeah.
Everything would be just fine.
Life would be good.
Mm-hmm. I guess that gives you incentive to get out, but still. Why do I have to shovel that much money out to the government?
It's truly gross. Get it?
Okay.
All right. So, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it, bud.
What, Trump?
The Joker.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
Hey, ha. Ha, ha, ha. What's up? Would you like or dislike?
What I loved about the movie was that it gave such an insightful view on mental illness. I've never seen or felt in a movie ever. The only movie that came close to that, to giving me such a emotional response to someone going through some type of mental anguish or illness, was what's that called? Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind with Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. You seen that?
No, but I know what it is.
Yeah. That one is more so of the mental anguish you have, and I would say you go through a period of mental illness after a breakup. That one gives a very insightful look at, you know, the things you go through after, and just the agony and how you kind of go crazy, pretty much. The Joker was that, like, times 10, I felt like, to the point where I felt uncomfortable in the theater, and, you know, yeah.
It was hard to watch type thing.
Hard to watch, but I think that's what made it so good.
Yeah.
Is that, and that's what I love. That's when I know a movie is so good, is when it elicits a emotional response from you. And you didn't walk out from that movie like jumping for joy or anything like that.
No, it was not a happy ending.
Like, I feel like if I watched it by myself, I would have driven home with no music on, just quiet, and sat in my room with the light off and thought about it even more.
Well, I'm sure from here we can say, spoiler alert, like, if you haven't seen the movie, everything from here you probably shouldn't listen to. But if you don't want it spoiled, but here's what I thought. The movie was really good. It left me walking out of the theater just, whew, you know, that, like, oh, kind of feel like the stress that whole movie. You were just like, damn, that kind of just really got to me, you know?
Right. Because you're on edge the whole movie.
Yeah, and, like, you feel kind of worn out after movies like that, you know, mm-hmm. that really just keep you tense and tight, butthole just clenched, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What?
Nothing. Anyways.
No, please share.
Nothing. We'll just go on.
Oh my God.
But here's my main point, is that all of that craziness about how Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips and everybody who created this movie was, like, inspiring madmen to go out and encouraging them to do what they're doing, and it was so not that type of movie. Like,
right.
It was a Batman movie. The Joker. Like, if you want a movie about the Joker coming up and how he became the Joker, which is something that is a very good idea, because everybody has told the story about fucking Batman like 1,000 times.
Right.
And the Joker is one of the most menacing and iconic characters in Batman. And if you want a movie that portrays that, what they made was absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
But if you're not the type of person who gives a shit about comics, like, you want to go see Marvel where everything's a happy ending and, like, you know, there's no hate on Marvel right now, but it's just not your type of movie. If you don't want to go right. see that, like, it's movies like Dunkirk, movies like The Revenant that just, like, they, ooh, bless you, kitten. They leave you stressed and emotional and heartbroken. Like, it's
Have
just.
Have you seen Fury?
Oh, yeah.
That scene where they're having dinner with those two, I think, French or German girls.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the tank crew come in. And uh-huh. the tension that builds in there, because you don't know what's about to happen, because mm-hmm. the guys that come in are, like,
Monsters.
And you don't know what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. It could be, like, a terrible, like, rape scene or murder scene.
Yeah.
But it just, the whole section. I watched that with my dad, and as soon as that scene ended, we were both like, oh my God. He like laughed and was on the same page. So stressed out. But yeah, movies like that.
Yeah, if you're just not into that, don't go see it. Yeah. And I guarantee you that the people who are reviewing such bad reviews on this movie have not seen it.
Mm-hmm. Or they're looking or way they, too into it.
Yeah, they have. Because when we were in the theater, two people walked out.
Yeah.
A couple walked out. And I went, ha!
Pussy!
This is not cool. Babe, we need to go now.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, honey. Let's go.
Yeah, I did not like that as they're walking out.
Yeah, that was a stupid movie.
He's like downloading on his phone as he walks out.
He's crying in the bathroom watching it.
Yeah, I thought that was blown out of proportion. I think a lot of people thought it was blown out of proportion.
What, a lot the hate of, on it?
Huh?
Or the critiques of it?
No, a lot of like podcasts that I've listened to, they're just like, what the hell? That was a great movie.
Yeah, it was good.
Like, come on now.
It was well done.
Batman, like I said, spoiler alert, Batman is in the movie. Batman.
Well, Bruce Wayne is pre-Batman.
He's still Batman.
Pre-Batman.
Batman.
Batman. Batman, as an idea, does not yet exist in that movie.
I can't argue with that. But his dad is in it. His mom is in it.
Yeah.
There's a section Thomas in the Wayne's movie. Prick. Yeah, there's a section in the movie that is in the other Batman movies where the mom and dad die. This is a Batman movie.
It's like
movie.
Every Batman movie. He always has those flashbacks.
It's almost like...
Which is always heart-wrenching.
It's beautiful because they made a movie where it started at his where his insanity began as the Joker. Where he kind of came into contact with Bruce Wayne, which he later will hate, and you now know why.
Yeah.
And it also kind of ends at a point where all of the other Batmans begin. Mm-hmm. And it's super fucking cool. It's really cool. It's not like... I don't know. After watching it, I don't judge people for... I don't judge people for liking it. Like, it's not at all a movie encouraging killers or anything. There's no scenes of mass shootings.
I've always hated when, even from a kid, this probably comes from me, from my childhood. But I hate when people blame violence on video games or movies. Because I remember when Columbine happened when I was a kid. That's what the first thing the news went for was video games, violent video games. And then that led to parents like reviewing video games and making sure you weren't playing anything too violent because they didn't want you to turn into a mass murderer like the Columbine kids. When really that wasn't the problem. Oh yeah, and they blamed like music too. Marilyn Manson was on the news a lot back then. Which probably helped his career quite a bit.
Yeah.
But it's been like that for years now. It's just a scapegoat because the news, politicians don't want to face the more complex solution to that problem. They want the scapegoat. They want the easy answer. It's violent movies. It's violent video games. It's Quentin Tarantino. It's Rockstar. They keep making...
That Rockstar one, that's a crazy one. I heard they're making a movie about all the legal stuff they went through to just have the video game that they made.
Yeah.
Like, they were hated, and now they're loved.
Yeah.
Like, people, I don't think there's obviously a lot of parents probably out there who don't let their kids play Grand Theft Auto, but... You know, Red Dead Redemption, they're just like a beautiful company that makes really fun, good games that aren't necessarily you can do whatever you want. You can go and kill people if you want.
Right.
But the objective isn't normally that.
Yeah. Well, people, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be preached to through a movie or a video game.
Yeah,
like, I guess that's my libertarian.
Here's the thing. Todd Phillips isn't my moral compass. So if you are relying on directors and everything you're going out to watch, you're relying on that to be your moral compass, you're going to be swayed in every direction that they want you to go, and you're going to be offended all of the time because you're getting a new moral compass every time you go see a film.
That's a great point.
And, yeah, I just don't believe in the fact that Rockstar or any director or any game company should be your moral compass. You can just not participate in the content.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if that is your moral compass, then that is not what the problem is. There's another underlying mental issue involved here.
You're now relying on pictures and videos as a guideline for your life.
Right. If that is the case, if you were inspired to enact violence on other people by a video game or a movie or a song, then that had to come from somewhere. And that is usually mental illness or some type of trauma that happened in your life.
It's not from the director and producers of those video games.
Right. And they shouldn't be responsible for that.
Yeah. So Godspeed, Todd Phillips and Joaquin Phoenix.
Godspeed.
Joaquin Phoenix is a beautiful man.
He's an amazing actor. I feel like he's going to be in the history books.
Ooh.
Lost his older brother, who was also an actor, River Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
In movies such as Stand By Me. And I'm blanking on other ones he's been in.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the only one anybody really cares about, I think. Don't give me that look.
He was a child star.
Don't give me that look. You're like, excuse me, I was born in the 80s, so I love River Phoenix. And you're like, name two movies he was in. Stand By Me.
Okay, stop.
But I love him. Don't ever say anything about him.
All right, let's move on. We don't want to be
like
one of those,
this.
I don't want to be one of those like podcasts this. Where we just laugh the whole
time. I like what we're doing right now.
Why?
Because it's shaming you.
You love shaming me.
Yeah.
You know what? That's just for me, that's an indicator of how great I am. That's an indicator that's an indicator of how good Starbucks is.
Whoa.
Yeah. Worship me.
I'll worship you. Just like I worshipped Jesus while listening to Jesus is King. How'd you like it?
That's a good segue. I'll be honest with you.
was a good segue.
I'll be 100% honest with you. 100% honest.
Okay, go ahead.
I loved that album, start to finish.
Damn.
Loved it. I listened to it. All 27 minutes of it. It was very short.
Yeah.
Compared to other hip-hop albums that have been coming out lately. That are like 25 to 30 tracks.
Yeah.
That one I thought was very good. And it was exactly what it what he said it was going to be.
I think the production quality was everything I could have dreamed it could be. The lyrics were just cringy at some points.
Closed on Sunday was kind of cringy.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you are looking at it from the perspective of a gospel album, like in the category of gospel albums, it is probably the greatest gospel album that will ever be made. I think.
Probably.
I would never listen to any other gospel album and never have. But I listened to that whole thing and Jesus was here in my room.
When I was a young boy, like 16, 17, I helped my neighbor's mom move from her house to my neighbor's house. And the whole time, they were just blasting gospel music like that. And I was just in heaven the whole time just because it sounded so good. It was nothing like I ever experienced before. Beautiful music. So, and I've been having a hard time finding anything like what I've heard in that when I moved that person.
And I like Elvis's gospel. Elvis's gospel music is beautiful.
Yeah. But there's something about like the like black gospel music that's just worlds different. And yeah. That harkened back to that childhood memory, or I guess late childhood, teenage memory.
I talked to a lot of people at my work, and the consensus is a lot of people actually liked it. But here's the thing is, Kanye has tricked me before, and he's not going to trick me again. He's tricked me so many times now.
Really? Why?
Into loving him believing in him.
You've liked him longer than I have. So speak up.
Well, in junior high, my junior high days, which was probably like 2008, 2009.
Okay.
2008.
Early
20s. I was listening to Heartless and, you know, a lot of his graduation stuff. A lot of the oldies. And I was booping and bopping and loving what I was hearing. Okay. Nothing but boops and bops. Loving it. And he went into this whole phase that I just did not like and went and sunk himself deeper and deeper and deeper until nobody really gave a shit about him. And
what did he do?
And
what,
then
what changed?
The whole Trump thing, I think.
In 2016?
Later on, yeah. In between there, he came out with some albums that I just didn't really care about. I didn't not like them, and I didn't like listen to them all the time, but it was just like I heard a few songs, liked a few songs. And then he starts kind of getting into the whole Trump phase. And eventually everybody kind of didn't take him seriously anymore. And then I heard Life of Pablo, which obviously came out before a lot of the stuff that I'm talking about happened. But Life of Pablo ended up being amazing, and I...
You didn't like Yeezus?
Huh?
You didn't like Yeezus?
One of those albums. Didn't really...
Yeah. I love...
Actually...
That song, Black Skinhead, is such a good song.
Ooh, that was not a good song for a lot of people.
Why?
That was hated by the black community, I'm pretty sure.
Really? Why?
Black Skinhead? What do you mean? Why?
I don't understand.
The whole context of the song.
I can't think of the lyrics. Any part of the lyrics that would trigger hatred.
Well, there's something about that, that... Something about that song or that name of the song or something that people didn't like.
Have I ever... I think I talked about it before in the podcast, the origins of the term skinhead?
I don't know.
I haven't?
I don't know.
Okay.
I've heard you talk about it a couple times, but I don't know if it's been on the podcast. You all right, bud?
I had a lot of wine, so. Feeling good. Feeling good.
All right.
Feeling good. Feeling great.
Well, yeah. Anyways, what I was saying about Kanye was he fooled me with Life of Pablo, and then this album came out. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you guys believe that he's now changed forever, Christian gospel boy now? And like, a lot of his songs are about like, yeah, now take me seriously. Like, I'm now a Christian, and a lot of people are making fun of me for it. And even Christians hate me for it.
Yeah.
And you need to really take me seriously and don't hate on me for this. Like, you really need to take, like, everything he does is, come on, take me seriously. Like, this is what I do now. And I had a friend just like that in high, I mean, in a junior high, elementary school. This kid would get into anything. Like, he got into music, he got into skateboarding, he got into hacky sacking, he got into longboarding, like, drumming, so many different things, and every time he got into a new phase, it was, this is what I'm going to become, this is my now my future, and you have to take me super seriously about this. Mm. And I equate his mentality to Kanye all the time, because I think that it's just like a personality type where you get super excited about something, and it's like a manic excitement yeah. type thing where it's just overstimulation.
Yeah. Do you think he's seeking validation?
I think he's overstimulated in whatever he's doing. Hmm. And once that wears down, he's going to move on into his next phase, just like he's done since I started listening to him. Because it's always something with Kanye.
Yeah.
His Amber Rose thing, his like Taylor Swift thing, his, he even talks about in this latest album that like he apologizes for selling out the black community. I don't know exactly what he's referring to, but I'm assuming he's talking about a lot of the things he said in the last album, like, or the album that you were talking about where, I think it's that album where he talks a lot about like why he's with Trump. Mm-hmm. And why he likes Trump.
Hmm. What? Do you know what those things were?
No, I was just asking you a question.
Oh, you're asking me a question.
Was that the album Jesus? That he talks about that? Yeah, because I didn't listen to it. Didn't that
come out in like 2013?
I don't know. I didn't really listen to it, like I said. I just listened to Life of Pablo and skipped over a couple albums.
I think his whole thing with Trump is that the Democrats... his point is that the Democratic Party is actually really bad for the black community. And that I can agree, because they don't, I don't know. I just feel like the whole socialism thing just keeps people down. It doesn't bring people up. Doesn't put people on an equal playing field. Any time in history that has been the main, that has been implemented in government, it's only led to dictatorships.
So what do you mean by that? What do you say? Why'd you say that?
Well, the neighborhoods like Chicago and I just lost my train of thought.
Well, I was just talking about how Kanye just apologized recently for like selling out the black community, and he just expects people to believe him that this is now a true phase. Mm-hmm. And that just recently he was just saying on one of his most recent songs, I'm a sick fuck, I like a quick fuck. He's like, no. Now I'm putting out a gospel album. Literally the next thing he does.
Yeah. And I was thinking that today because I was listening to it today.
If you are a Christian, are you really going to go, oh, yeah, let's believe? Because a lot of them will jump to that. Oh, let's believe him. No, he's new. He's changed. God, no, you don't understand. God changes people. It's like, no, you don't understand. Kanye changes himself every fucking year.
Yeah. What was it? His last album. I hate being bipolar. It's awesome. Kind of boils that down to simple terms.
Yeah. Too. It's true. That was a great album. I like that one. I like that album. And the...
Oh my god. There's some cat issues going on here. Cat
problems, yeah.
Some bushy tails going on right now. That's when you know a cat's angry and their tail gets really bushy.
Yeah, Chris knows that because he's really good with animals. He thinks
I'm a, he can talk I'm a cat to zoologist.
Well, honestly, I have no clue how we ventured off into Kanye land again. We always go off to that. Oh, yeah, Jesus is King. I liked it. Good production. Great, great music. Like, if you just took a lot of the lyrics out of most of the songs, I think the music quality is just phenomenal. Like everything that he's ever done, truly, I believe that. I think he is always consistent with that, at least. But his lyrics are always stupid, just dumb.
Yeah.
And with this, like, I'm not saying that he's unintelligent with his lyrics, especially with this album. It's not unintelligent. It's just stupid that you think I'm gonna believe you.
Well, even before this album came out, there's been a few songs in him that I like, but I just wish the lyrics were different.
Like, here's what people will say. No, Tommy, he was literally singing about Jesus, like, since back in the day, bro. Like, you don't understand. He's been, like, Jesus walks. Jesus walks. That's a bop, bro. Have you ever heard it even? No. Okay. I know what you're saying. But that's just kind of proving my point that he's back and forth all the time. He does one song about Jesus walks, and then I'm a sick fuck, I like a quick fuck. So, what's up, dude?
Yeah.
What's next for you?
And, you know, not that long ago, he came out with a song that, with that other rapper, you're such a fucking whore, I love it.
That's the same song.
That's the one?
The one that just came out recently, yeah.
Yeah. It's silly.
And then it leads on to I'm a sick fuck.
Yeah. I'm always, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Here.
You've been into him longer than I have. My first time hearing him was, I was really into Daft Punk, and he did a remix of one of their songs, Stronger. It's not Stronger. It's like number one on Spotify. Yeah. I was like, wow, that's really cool.
Well,
and then I remember when Hurricane Katrina happened, he was in the news because he said George Bush doesn't care about black people.
See what I mean? Like, that's what I mean when I say people stopped taking him seriously. They're like, what are you saying, dude? Do you just say whatever you want? But let me track this down.
Yeah, but you know what? It keeps him in the news and it keeps him relevant.
It's true.
TBH.
So, college dropout, late registration, and 808s and heartbreak, and graduation. So those four, college dropout, late registration, 808s, heartbreak, and graduation. That's all like elementary school and junior high for me, 2004 through 2007.
I feel like a lot of people say that 808s and heartbreak is his best album.
And then this is what I mean between the gap, 2010 through 2013, didn't listen to these. Especially the Kanye West presents good, is like a Jay-Z collab, garbage.
Oh, okay.
This My Beautiful Dark Twisted.
Not a big Jay-Z fan.
My Beautiful Dark, that one was pretty good. That one has some good stuff, but didn't impress me in 2010. Yeezus wasn't impressive in 2013, and then Life of Pablo melted my face. Ye, great. Kids of See Ghosts, fantastic. Jesus is King. What are you doing, boy?
Wait, I thought you liked Jesus is King.
I did, but what are you doing?
We'll see. We'll see if it plays
through. What's next?
I don't know. I feel like the things he does keeps him relevant. Marrying Kim Kardashian. I feel like that whole family are just marketing geniuses. Like, none of them are really talented or anything. And I feel like he's obviously very talented. He's the same way. He somehow keeps himself in the news, relevant.
But people want to credit him with that as if he's like formulated something, like some sort of evil genius, like some sort of Christopher Nolan character who can put together this amazing story and like execute it perfectly. And like I don't think he's smart enough to realize what he was doing while he was doing it, as far as I'm marrying Kim Kardashian just because it's gonna keep me relevant.
Well, I don't think he decided that. I feel like I was thinking about this the other day while I was driving to work. I feel like the Kardashian family will marry the right people, and I feel like that goes back to when kings and queens would marry off their prince and princesses to the right families to keep them relevant, to form alliances, improve their influence across the planet. I feel like that's the same.
No, that's actually really.
I think that Mama Kardashian is a genius.
Yeah, and I think she's the Christopher Nolan.
I think that she has taught her daughters very well. Because, what's her name? They've all married very famous people and have divorced them when they're not, keeping up the standard.
I think it's like an on my behalf. It's more of like a accidental domino effect to where since Kanye got famous, it's nothing but like things happening in his life that are continuously improving his life. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily like he made beats and somebody told him you should start singing to those, you know. Mm-hmm. And he did, and it's like from there it's just a domino effect of success,
right? I think he gained that success mindset too early on. I think that my thing is that everything is a mindset game. If you say that you're the greatest and then you act like you're the greatest, then you will maybe not be the greatest, but you will be up there.
People believe, and enough people will believe. Mm-hmm. Enough people will believe that you're the greatest to make you great. Mm-hmm.
If you look at all the greats across history, they all had a similar mindset, and they all acted in the manner to maintain that title.
Yeah.
As a great.
Dress for the job you want, not the job you have.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, well, my charger's broken.
Okay.
Anyways.
What else we got, my guy?
I had a couple more sections of this podcast that I wanted to talk about, but I actually want to save it because it's like a full another podcast.
Me too.
So I think we got in a good little recap of one season two.
Episode one.
Yeah,
this coming is a good out. Intro. Good intro to our next season. We got interviews coming up. We got a couple people that we both know that we want to interview. Mm-hmm. And talk about their lives, their specialties, and this is going to be a very experimental season, I believe.
Yeah, we want to get Lizzie on next, who is a very knowledgeable human being on horoscopes and also what else? Oh yeah, witchcraft and wizardry.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Real quick, very down. I know we're wrapping it up, but horoscopes are something that I don't exactly believe in. But I also am extremely interested in it.
Yes. And that's why I'm super excited to talk to her. We're going to go to her yoga studio. We're going to do yoga. And we're going to talk about some shit afterwards in her studio. I don't know the name of it yet, but we're going to try and, you know, promote it a bit. If you guys are into horoscopes, you'll love the next episode. I might not be the next one, but yeah. Tom and Topher Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Bless your hearts.
Bless your hearts.
Check you later.